Hello.
Hello and welcome back.
It's the We Don't Want to Grow Up podcast. We're finally, officially back from our break.
We're back, back?
We are back, back. It's been a while. We have not recorded a full podcast episode aside from our Patreon episodes because we have still released 2 episodes a month over there.
Yes.
But we haven't recorded since mid-December.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it feels good. I've been working hard on our outlines and we've been watching some stuff and we've kind of got a new plan for our process, hoping that it will, work better for us than it was working before the holidays.
We're going to try it out. Should we share what the process is?
Sure.
So what are we actually going to try to do? We're going to try to watch everything we need to watch in 1 week or less, and then record everything we have to record for the month.
During the week.
During the week.
We normally record on the weekends.
Yes.
And in the past, Pete came up with this idea, and it's a brilliant idea. I did remind him that I came up with this idea a while ago.
Of course.
He always shoots it down. And I understand because after he finishes work, he doesn't feel like coming upstairs and having to be on. And I mean, I get that. After you've been working all day, like your brain turns to mush. So sometimes that's difficult.
It's hard to be this funny.
But our problem is that on the weekends, we don't feel like doing it either. On the weekends, we want to relax. We want to hang out. We want to, you know, watch other stuff, do other things. So this is our attempt to try to get as much done during 1 week. Like, okay, yeah, it kind of stinks to have to come up here during the week at night. But if we get everything done for the month during this 1 week, then we have 3 weeks off, essentially. I mean, I still have to edit and then you still have to do your part. But as far as recording goes and like research and everything.
Yeah, I guess I could have stated that better. We would watch and record everything that we have to do for the month in the first week. And then the second week, we'd spend editing and releasing for the rest of the month. So we get like 2 weeks off-ish per month.
Yeah, which I think will be nice if we can work it out. We'll see what we can get done.
Yes.
Right now, I feel like it's almost 8 o'clock. I feel like this is probably going to be the only one we're going to do tonight.
And that's okay.
It is okay. We just have to be willing to come up the other nights.
We are.
It'll be so nice too, because sorry to keep talking about it, but on the weekends, like when we first started, we used to do it at night, like Saturday night, and it would be like a big party. It'd be like a whole thing. But then gradually I would rather record in the morning, get it done.
You would.
Pete would rather just wait. We'll see when we do it.
And I like pushing it off.
He likes pushing it off. And then I'm over there the whole day. I can't think of anything else because I know we need to record.
Yes.
I have more energy in the morning. So, you know, we just butt heads when it comes to our process. So I'm hoping we can find something that works for both of us.
We're going to try it. We'll see how it goes.
All right. So it's been a while since Christmas. So we're not going to go over everything we got each other for Christmas. We did talk about that on our Patreon, but it has only been like a week or so since Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And we did get each other a few nostalgic things for Valentine's Day. Do you want to tell them what you got?
What I got you or what you got me?
What I got you.
Okay. You got me from the mid 80s. I think 85 is when they came out. I could be wrong on that, but some mask toys.
Mask was a cartoon in the 80s.
Mask was a cartoon, had a supporting toy line as you did back in the day and probably still do now. But one of my favorite toys of all time was called Volcano. And you got me Volcano, which is like a big van on big wheels and it like pops open into this armored vehicle. It's amazing. You also got me Firefly, which is like the dune buggy. You also got me Raven, which is like a Camaro that converts into a hover jet kind of thing.
Yes.
And lastly, you got me Vampire, which is a motorcycle that converts into another, of course, military-like vehicle with the little 3-inch figurines, not the 3 1/4 inch. So they're small and they got their little helmets and they are amazing.
And I think now that I have finally gotten him some mask toys, it has started a new thing for him because now he's been like buying other things for parts and some different toys. But he was very excited and I loved seeing his face light up when he opened those toys.
It was incredible. I bid on eBay for some different ones and I got eBay sniped. Right at the end of the auction, I got outbid by $2.50 on both of them. And I was very upset.
He was super sad about it. It's all right. Keep looking.
Yeah.
And then for me, I got a big surprise because I was not expecting this at all. On top of just some other romantical stuff, flowers and fancy meals and things like that, he got me the My Little Pony Dream Castle, which was definitely high up on my list of toys that I had when I was a kid that I wanted back in my life. And it's in the box.
In the box. Thank you to the Cozy Club, because I was lurking on one of the conversations and saw you mention it. And so it gave me a great idea.
Sneaky.
You also got some My Little Ponies to go along with it.
I did. I actually have a lot of my ponies from like that were mine when I was a kid. I've yet to clean them up. And so we decided that this will be nice because he got like a lot of them. And some of them are not generation one. They're like skinny looking or whatever. So I thought they would be perfect to test out all the cleaning stuff that we got. Like I've watched a lot of YouTube videos and things for how to do it without ruining them. But I thought they could be good trial ponies.
Same here with my mask toys. I'm going to try some of those techniques.
It'll be exciting.
Yes, it will.
Okay, I forgot to mention this before, but I do need to go to the vice principal's office.
Uh-oh.
Really just because our love extravaganza episode that we released on Valentine's Day was like a hodgepodge of previous episodes that we put all into one place that all had to do with love and romance and things like that. Some of the things that I mentioned in those episodes that I did not talk about that were significantly different than like current times. I don't know if that makes sense. But one of the things that I mentioned in an old episode, we were talking about a reality show called The Real Dirty Dancing that was going to be coming on. And that Twitch, one of my favorite dancers who I loved from So You Think You Can Dance, was going to be on. And I mentioned that he was one of my favorite people in the world. And he has since passed away. So it was sad to hear me talking about him like that, you know, not knowing that, I mean, you never know, but not knowing that he would be gone.
Right.
Not too long after that. And then we also were talking about NSYNC and how they would never get back together. Not knowing like all of the chaos that happened this past fall. I mean, I guess they're not technically back together, but they've done things together as a group. They were on the VMAs. They did a song together for the new Trolls movie. And as recently as 2 days ago, or no, yesterday, from when we're recording this, Justin posted a video of his new album being printed. And someone, some sneaky someone, took a screenshot of like a blip of the video. And it kind of shows a track list. And one of it's almost blurry, but you can tell it says Paradise featuring NSYNC.
Ah.
So he did say on an interview, I think he was on the Kelly Clarkson show, that they had been in the studio. So I'm wondering if that's what they were in the studio for, or if it's for something that is just NSYNC and not just a song on his album. We'll see.
Yes, we will. But at least you got 1/6 of a new album from NSYNC.
With two songs?
With two songs.
That's right. I'll take what I can get.
So we have some new patrons.
Yeah, we got quite a few over the holidays.
Yes, we did. We're very excited to welcome Laura Ann, Kathleen, Christina, Genesis, Katie, and Lena.
Yay!
Welcome.
Yes, we've been playing some games over on our Patreon.
We have.
We just recently added an episode to our Pilots on Patreon series. We did the pilot episode, actually the first two episodes of Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
Now that that's streaming, we had fun with that.
We did have fun.
And we have a lot of new things planned for the new year over there. So if you're interested in helping support the podcast and having a lot of bonus content, you can come over to patreon.com/we don't want to grow up.
Check it out. So who is going to come to the front of the class this week?
This week we have Lindsay.
Lindsay. Lindsay was born in 1982.
Of course, Lindsay said, I cannot think of just one answer for these questions. And as you all know, we are not good at that either, so we accept. Favorite 80s movies, Flight of the Navigator. She said, we taped this off of the Disney Sunday Night Movie, and I wore out the VHS. I love that. I still have some VHS tapes that I recorded things on and that my parents recorded things on, and I'll never get rid of them.
No.
Next, she said, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We would watch this every single day during the summer. I can recite it verbatim.
Favorite 80s songs, Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I said, listen.
says, this was released in 78, but I'm counting it as an 80s song because it was on the Risky Business soundtrack.
We accept.
We accept. My mother says whenever my brother and I were fighting, she would put in this cassette and we would immediately stop and start dancing.
That's funny.
Next up, Straight Up by Paula Abdul. I was a dancer and loved that she was too. And finally, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. And she says, this is now a go-to karaoke song. Very impressive. It can be a difficult one to sing, so good job.
Yes, that was our big song at our wedding. It was the last song of the night, right, where we had our confetti cannon.
Yes, I think.
To go, and it was like stuck and wouldn't work. It finally ended up working.
I'd had so much fun at that point, I don't even remember.
Well, it was a fun time. Confetti was going and we were all singing it at the top of our lungs, and it was a great time.
Yes.
Favorite 90s movie, My Girl. My uncle worked at Blockbuster and got me one of the movie posters, but I never hung it up because I didn't want to ruin it. You know something is really special if you don't even want to open it.
Yeah.
Next, she said, Good Will Hunting. I grew up in the Boston area and you couldn't not root for Matt and Ben.
Totally agree.
Makes sense.
Favorite 90s songs, Motown Philly by Boys to Men. I Want You Back by NSYNC, and Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Good ones.
Classics.
Favorite 80s or 90s TV shows? She says, oh my, how can you pick? Can I just say the original TGIF lineup? Of course you can. When it was Full House, Family Matters, Step by Step, and Just the 10 of Us. Next, Clarissa Explains It All. Love that Sam always came over through the window. Beverly Hills 90210. I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I did anyway.
Yes.
The cast came to a local mall and my father took a group of us, but there were so many screaming teenagers we could barely see them. That is one thing I would see on the news, like Jason and Luke going to the mall and it just being chaos.
Chaos.
Madhouse. People were getting injured left and right.
Not that they're getting injured, it's just wild. That was going on.
I know. Next, she has The X-Files. This is still one in my comfort shows rotation. I've watched the series way too many times to count. And lastly, TRL. I mean, come on. I loved TRL.
Toy that you loved most as a child, Baby Bright. One of the color kids in the Rainbow Bright cartoon. I carried my doll everywhere. A few years ago, my mother cleaned out the attic of my childhood home and got rid of it.
No.
And I was actually devastated that I was not consulted first.
I would have been too. I have a Baby Bright that actually your sister Tori gave me that she had as a child.
Yes.
Look on eBay though. Sometimes the ones that are not in the box are not too bad.
Yeah.
Favorite game or book that you loved as a child or teenager? Favorite game, Chutes and Ladders. And favorite book, the Babysitter's Club series. If I have to pick one specifically, book number 2, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls.
Oop, sounds like another candidate for the summer reading series.
Yeah.
Favorite place to go to the mall in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s? Bath and Body Works, The Limited, Claire's, and technically not in a mall, but Tower Records on Mass Avenue / Newberry Street, RIP.
We were just watching a documentary, actually, about the movie that we're about to cover. And the guy is in L.A. He's sitting on the street. And behind him is a building, and it says Tower Records.
It does.
I had no idea that there were any Tower Records still open.
Yeah, me either.
But then I'm like, maybe they just left the signage up.
I doubt it.
For nostalgia sake.
I doubt it. It's expensive real estate out there.
I know. I mean, I guess, of course, he probably filmed that like 5 years ago or something. So who knows?
But yeah.
If there is one, I would like to visit it. Celebrity crush. She says, Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block. Again, this is the Boston area, but make no mistake, my love for him carried on throughout the 90s. I understand this. As an adult working in New York theater, it's now admiration for him as a performer, but I still fangirl. I ran into him on the subway about 5 years ago and became an awkward mess. That's fun. Of course, you know, we always give our show and tell participants a chance to talk about anything else that they want to talk about, as long as it's nostalgia related. Lindsay says, can we talk about fashion in the late 80s, early 90s? Yes, Lindsay, we can.
Come to the right place.
She says, puffy paint shirts, colored leggings with stirrups or lace at the bottom, jelly shoes, making mom crimp my hair every day until she got tired of it and took me to get a perm. Then she says, I looked like Allison Porter in Curly Sue. I'm glad you looked like Allison Porter because Allison Porter was cute and had good hair. My perm, on the other hand, was not cute.
It was cute.
She says, truly grateful to have grown up in the 80s and 90s. No other decade since has come close to their level.
Completely agree.
I agree too. Also, I loved making puffy paint shirts. I remember we would have parties where everybody would come and bring a shirt. And like my mom would have bought a bunch of puff paint at the store. And we would make them, like we made them before we went to a New Kids on the Block concert at one point. We would come up with all kinds of reasons to make them. It was good times. Also, love some stirrup pants. Love some jelly shoes. I still have my crimper from
Do
back
you?
In the day, yeah.
From back in the day?
Yeah, I wouldn't use it now because I'd be too afraid I'd fry my hair off. But I still have it. That was a great show and tell, though. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
If you would like to participate in our show and tell, you can email us at wedontwantogrowuppod@gmail.com and ask for a questionnaire.
If you'd like to connect with us on social media, we're on Instagram at wedontwantogrowuppod.
We're on TikTok at wedontwantogrowup.
Come check us out on Facebook at wedontwantogrowuppodcast.
We also have a Facebook group called The Cozy Club Fans of We Don't Want to Grow Up.
Now, if you'd like to help support the podcast, and we know you do, and gain access to over 60 bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/wedontwantogrowup.
And if you're interested in We Don't Want to Grow Up merch, you can go to
we-don't-wanna-grow-up.myspreadshop.com.
Now it's time. It is time for a movie that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, it's my birthday movie.
It was released on his birthday. Released on December 13th, 1985. It's Clue.
So this was directed by Jonathan Lynn and co-written with John Landis, and it was produced by Deborah Hill.
Yes, and Deborah Hill, we actually know from her partnership with John Carpenter. She helped write a lot of the Halloween movies and The Fog and things like that.
So a quick summary of the movie. Six guests are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner. But after their host is killed, they must cooperate with the staff to identify the murderer as the bodies pile up.
So Clue is obviously based on the game Cluedo, known as Clue in North America, which is a murder mystery game that was created in 1943 by British board game designer Anthony E. Pratt. The object of the game, of course, is to determine who murdered the game's victim, where the crime took place, and which weapon was used. Each player assumes the role of one of the six suspects and attempts to deduce the correct answer by strategically moving around the game board, representing the rooms of a mansion, and collecting clues about the circumstances of the murder from the other players, which is exactly what happens in the movie.
It is. And I always wanted to see these rooms when I played this game nonstop.
My imagination was in overdrive when I played this game.
Oh, yeah.
I was also completely obsessed with the movie. I rented it as much as I could. And it's so funny rewatching it now and like really paying attention to everything because of covering it on the podcast. So many things were just over my head. Like all the political talk and the bribery and the, you know,
the sexual innuendo.
Yeah. Just so much of that that I just loved seeing them run around that mansion that looked like the game that I love to play.
Ditto. So cast wise, we have Eileen Brennan as Mrs. Peacock. She passed away in 2013.
The great Tim Curry as Wadsworth. Tim, actually, we just watched an older video of him at a convention saying that Clue was one of his favorite movies that he has starred in, which made me happy to hear.
Yeah. Madeline Kahn played Mrs. White, and she passed away in 1999.
I did not realize that.
Me either.
Maybe I just forgot. I don't know. It's been a long time. This cast is incredible. Christopher Lloyd as Professor Plum.
Michael McKean as Mr. Green.
Also known as Lenny from Laverne and Shirley.
Yes.
Martin Mull as Colonel Mustard.
Leslie Ann Warren as Miss Scarlet.
To me, Leslie Ann will always be my Cinderella. If you know, you know. We have Lee Ving as Mr. Body. He was actually the frontman of the punk rock band Fear and was chosen because of his name. Mr. Body will be Lee Ving. soon. Get it? Of course, we watched a documentary and Jonathan Lynn actually said that he was chosen because the studio wanted someone that was well known, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of that band.
Me neither. I was like, really? I feel like if that was the reason, it would have been someone more well known.
Like Sting or something, or.
Right.
David Lee Roth.
Right. Like he was saying that Fear was one of John Belushi's favorite bands.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he got a lot of the roles he had, because he had a lot of, you know, small roles in Hollywood.
But yeah.
I don't know. It was interesting.
Bill Henderson plays the cop, and he sadly passed away in 2016.
Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's was the singing telegram girl.
A very short part.
Very.
Jeffrey Kramer played the motorist.
Kelly Nakahara played the cook, or Mrs. Ho. She sadly passed away in 2020.
And Howard Hessman played the chief, and he sadly passed away recently in 2022.
Yeah, they left him on head of the class.
Yes. So fun facts. Who's going first? You going first?
I'll go. So, inspired by the nature of the board game, the film's initial release featured various different endings, with one of three possibilities sent to each theater. And some theaters would announce which ending the viewer would see, and some wouldn't, which we found out didn't actually work out for them the way that they hoped that it would, and the film kind of bombed.
Yeah, there's a variety of factors as to why it bombed, but I think everybody thought this was probably one of them.
Right. They were like, why am I going to go watch this whole movie to see maybe even the same ending?
Right. Like, if you don't know which one it is, you could spend your $2.50 in waste.
Right. And your time.
Your time. Got to eat all that popcorn again. Find another date.
But of course, when the movie was released on video, it included all three endings. To me, that's one of my favorite parts, because you see how the first one ends and they're like, that's one way it could have gone, but it could have happened this way. And I love getting to see it play out, and I prefer the final ending. And I'm just like, wow, I would have been disappointed if I went and the only ending that I saw was the first one they showed us.
Ditto.
So I don't know. I like the idea of it, of the like, oh, you don't know what ending you're going to get, but I can see, you know, why that wouldn't have worked out.
So Clue grossed $14.6 million in North America, just short of its $15 million budget. And even though it was a bit of a disappointment at the box office, it has since developed quite the cult following.
Yes, it has. So speaking of those endings we were talking about, they actually did film a fourth ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they ended up taking it out because Jonathan Lynn said, quote, it really wasn't very good. I looked at it and I thought, no, we've got to get rid of that. So in that ending, Wadsworth committed all the murders.
Ah.
He had ended up poisoning everyone with champagne. So all the guests would soon die, leaving no witnesses. And then the police and the FBI arrive. He's arrested. He breaks free, steals a police car. But while he's trying to escape, three police dogs lunge from the back seat. This ending was documented in Clue, the storybook, which was like a tie-in book that was released in conjunction with the film.
That is wild.
I know. I can see why maybe they left that one out.
Yeah, it's a quick cut that. Carrie Fisher was originally cast to portray Miss Scarlet, but went to rehab for drug and alcohol addiction 4 days before filming was set to begin. And according to Jonathan Lynn, Fisher called him and agreed to work a furlough, which received approval from her doctors and the producers, but was vetoed by the production's insurance company. And that forced them to dismiss Carrie from the project, and she was replaced with Leslie Ann Warren, who I think was already cast as
Mrs. White.
Mrs. White.
That's right. Would have been a totally different movie.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Lynn's first choice for Wadsworth was Leonard Rossiter, but he sadly died shortly before they started filming. Then the second choice was Rowan Atkinson, who we know as Mr. Bean, but at the time he was not well known, so the studio did not want him.
That's a no.
Jonathan Lynn, though, had known Tim Curry since they were teenagers and personally asked him to be in the movie.
In the end, they got it right.
They did.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, Demi Moore, and Madonna were all considered for the role of the buxom French maid, Yvette. Eager to earn the part, Colleen Camp went to her audition in a low-cut French maid costume showing a lot of cleavage.
You're hired. This I thought was interesting. The entire cast was paid the same salary and billing despite their different levels of notability at the time.
Very progressive.
Right?
So we found out the entire house is a set, except for the ballroom, which was shot on location at a mansion in Pasadena, California. The main set was then bought by Aaron Spelling, who used it as the Carlton Hotel on Dynasty.
I love that. So Jonathan Lynn had the cast watch His Girl Friday, the Cary Grant film, for inspiration on how to deliver their lines in the movie.
I've never seen that one.
I haven't either, but definitely enjoy some Cary Grant. He's no Gregory Peck.
Agreed. So Gene Siskel gave the film 2.5 out of 4 stars, writing, "Clue offers a few big laughs early on, followed by a lot of characters running around on a treadmill to nowhere." Siskel particularly criticized the decision to release the film to theaters with 3 separate endings, calling it a gimmick that would distract audiences from the rest of the film, and concluding, "Clue is a movie that needs 3 different middles rather than 3 different endings. Scathing review.
I disagree.
Definitely disagree.
So in January 2018, 20th Century Fox announced that Ryan Reynolds would star in the remake with Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, writers for Deadpool, its sequel, and Life, as the scriptwriters. In 2019, The Wrap reported that Jason Bateman was in talks to direct and star in the film, but then was rejected shortly after. I just want to know, when is this happening, and is it still happening?
I wish they'd get back to the original thought with Ryan Reynolds and his Deadpool team.
Agree.
So you pointed this out. This was a very nice find. The color of each character's car is the same color as their playing piece in the game.
I think that's so fun.
Yes, and it's introduced as follows. Colonel Mustard drives a yellow 1954 Cadillac Series 62. Mrs. White drives a black and white 1950 MGTD convertible. Mrs. Peacock drives a blue 1952 Packard 200 Deluxe Club Sedan. Mr. Green drives a green 1951 Plymouth Cranbrook. Miss Scarlet drives a 1946 red Lincoln Continental. Mwah. And Professor Plum drives a purple 1949 Pontiac Streamliner station wagon.
I think that is really fun. Although Professor Plum's car actually looks red in the movie, but it could be just the...
It's dark out.
Yeah. Well, I love that too, because obviously their names are aliases. So they're not, they purposefully dressed them in different colors than what their names were.
Right.
But they still gave them the cars. So it's fun. I love this too. I love the attention to detail. So all of the rooms in the mansion are in correct order as they are in the board game. So clockwise, you have the hall, lounge, dining room, kitchen, ballroom, conservatory, billiard room, library, and study, as well as a cellar, which is a non-suspected area in the game. And then there are also several new rooms that are not seen in the game, including the bathroom, the master bedroom, the attic, and the nursery.
They ought to be added.
They should be.
Maybe they have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen a new Clue board game in a long time.
No. So the secret passages in this movie lead to the same rooms that they do in the board game. The kitchen leads to the study, and the conservatory leads to the lounge. I love secret passages.
Me too.
They're amazing.
So I have not watched Psych. Have you ever seen Psych?
Negative.
I think I maybe tried to start it at one point and couldn't get into it. I hear a lot of good things about it, but as of yet, have not seen it. But Leslie Ann Warren, Christopher Lloyd, and Martin Mull all reunited to spoof the movie in the Psych episode 100 Clues.
I bet you they had fun.
Yes. We saw a little clip of it in the documentary that we watched. The documentary is called Whodunit.
Yeah. So the movie takes place in New England, as revealed in the opening scenes. Soon afterwards, Miss Scarlet is picked up by Professor Plum and explains that she is on her way to Hill House, which is off Route 41. In real life New England, there is a Route 41 that spans the northwestern section of Connecticut, continuing through the southwestern section of Massachusetts. So Hill House, story-wise, is located in either of these 2 New England states.
Well, which one is it?
I don't know.
I also love that it's Hill House, which is named after Deborah Hill, the producer, who has also sadly passed away. But I just think it's fun because Hill House is something that has been used in a lot of movies and TV shows, usually as something very scary.
Very scary. I also sometimes forget that New England is not a state.
That's correct.
I wasn't sure where that information point was going until the end. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not a state.
New England Patriots throws you off, doesn't
yes, it? Yes, I just only see red at that point, and I forget everything other than anger.
So the decor of the house includes portraits of presidents Abraham Lincoln, James A. Garfield, and William McKinley, all of whom were murdered.
Ooh, nice touch. Mm-hmm. And finally, this movie came out in the same year as Back to the Future, 1985. This means that Christopher Lloyd in this year started two films set about 30 years earlier in the mid-50s, both taking place at a site with the word hill in the name, Hill House and Hill Valley, and both having a thunderstorm during the date of their climactic events, June 9th, 1954, and November 12th, 1955.
I love that. And I love the fact that somebody like thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, look at all these synchronicities.
So many.
All right. Favorite moments. We got a few.
We do. You want to go first on a couple of your HMs?
Sure. All right. So this is towards the end. During one of the endings, the ending where Mrs. Peacock is the murderer, the whole group is singing to Mrs. Peacock nervously. They're singing for She's a Jolly Good Fellow. I had to write this down because they didn't have to go so hard.
They went real hard.
I mean, it's getting fancy.
Harmonies everywhere.
Mrs. White, like Madeline Kahn, a real standout.
Oh, yeah.
We just have to play it here.
For she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly...
It's the best. Next up, when Mr. Green arrives at the mansion and Wadsworth yells, "Sit!" to the dogs, and Mr. Green just sits down on the bench immediately. I just love how nervous he is throughout the whole movie. And then in the end, we find out that he's undercover.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
an FBI agent, and he's not scared at all. He's going to go home and sleep with his wife. This is a small moment, but the moment where Mr. Body gives a gift to all of the guests, they open them up, and they are each a weapon that we all know from the game.
I love seeing the wrench.
The wrench.
It's my favorite.
You know, I love seeing the candlestick, and I yeah. love seeing the lead pipe.
Okay.
It's a good rope, too.
It is a very good rope.
Also, we were talking about this when we were watching. There are so many one-liners that were cracking us up that even though, like, I had this movie memorized as a kid, I didn't get the humor.
Right.
You know? So now... a simple interaction like this.
He didn't actually seem to like me very much. He had threatened to kill me in public.
Why would he want to kill you in public?
I think she meant he threatened in public to kill her.
I don't know. It just makes me laugh. Also, when Colonel Mustard is questioning Mrs. White and he says, "How many husbands have you had?" And she just, I mean, right back says,
"How many husbands have you had?
Mine or other women's?
Yours.
Five.
Five.
Yes, just the five.
Yes, just the five."
She is fantastic
in
this.
She is. And finally, I remember yelling this along with the movie as a kid when Miss Scarlet and Colonel Mustard are locked inside the lounge.
Let us in! Let us in! Let us out! Let us out!
I think I yelled it with them when we watched it yesterday, too.
You did. I think that's right.
It's a very interactive movie.
It is.
You just feel like you're a part of it.
Right. Okay, my HMs, everybody checking their shoes in the beginning of the movie for dog poo.
It's the best.
Whenever they're around Wadsworth, who, of course, has stepped in some dog poo, it's just exactly what happens in real life. Somebody will walk by, you'll be like,
"Is that
then
me?"
You start checking your shoes, like, what did I do?
I love to, because it's just a subtle thing.
Yeah.
It's great acting, because nobody says anything, but you watch all of them do it.
Another moment that made me laugh, Professor Plum immediately asking for the number to Miss Scarlet's gentleman service. He did not hesitate.
He's a creeper.
He is a creeper. And the set. I love this set. It is magnificent. It needs to be recreated in like a dinner theater, murder mystery, or like an escape room or something like that. It would
or
be
an Airbnb.
An Airbnb. It would be incredible to stay in it and play and have so much fun.
Let's do it.
Yes.
When we become millionaires, that's what we'll do.
All right. I like it. And finally, Jane Wiedlin's micro part. And then bang, just is immediately shot. They do not waste any time. And that was her first movie role. And as you mentioned, she was in the Go-Go's. So, you know, she's trying to cross that boundary because her agent wanted her to.
Yeah, we saw a clip of an interview with her on MTV teasing the movie and the role. And she's like, I can't say what happens to my character, you know, but it's fun. You need to check it out. All right. Top three. We're going 3-2-1, right?
3-2-1.
Number three on my list. When the cop shows up at the house, this is after three murders have taken place.
Yeah.
They are, you know, scurrying around and trying to make it appear that they're just partying. It's fine. Nothing to see here. So you've got Mrs. White making out with a dead Mr. Body on the couch. Colonel Mustard is making out with the cook. And he's even like got his hand on her head, holding her eyes open as Miss Peacock is behind the cook and behind Colonel Mustard, like in the curtains with her arms around, rubbing on Colonel Mustard's back. Oh, and then they've made the motorist look like he's passed out drunk.
Yeah.
While Miss Scarlet and Professor Plum are making out on the couch. I just have always loved that scene so much.
There's a lot going on. It's a lot of fun.
Very creative.
Yes. All right. Number three on my list, Mrs. Peacock screaming and being dramatic about being poisoned potentially.
Maybe he was poisoned.
Mrs. Peacock, it's all right. It's all right. You don't know anything. Sit down. Sit down,
Mr. Green got no time for that. Slaps her right in the face to quiet her down.
I had to stop her from screaming.
Every time I see it, it makes me laugh. I just love it.
It's just so comedic. Like, normally you wouldn't laugh at a man slapping a woman, but no. It's so good.
I mean, just like her screaming is funny anyways. Mm-hmm. And then she comes over there and she is inconsolable and he just slaps her.
She's very dramatic.
Yeah.
The physical comedy in this movie, too, is outstanding.
It is.
And speaking of that, my number two is Mrs. Peacock, again, being dramatic, about to pass out. And Wadsworth says, I'll catch you. Fall into my arms. And she falls. Like, he just puts his arms like in a hoop,
yeah.
Basically. She falls through his arms and then proceeds to fall through his legs backwards and lands on the ground.
It was fantastic.
And then he just goes, sorry.
All right, number two on my list, another Mrs. Peacock moment.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have to, is there a little girl's room in the hall?
Oui, oui, madame.
No, I just want to powder my nose, thank you.
Very small moment, but it is funny.
Ooh, we both were laughing. We're like, I need to hear that again. Oui, oui, madame. My number one, and probably one of my favorite scenes in an 80s movie. I mean, it's got to be up there if I really was breaking it down. Mrs. White's famous monologue talking about how she feels about Yvette.
Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. It flames on the side of my face, heaving
flames on the side of my face. I think we quote it a lot.
We do.
Around here. And then to find out that that was all improvised by Madeline.
Incredible.
Wow. What a legend.
And they said in the documentary that, yeah, it was very difficult to edit that footage because everybody was laughing so hard. All right. And my top moment, it's a very long one as far as movie time goes, but Wadsworth running around the house, showing everyone how the murders happened. It takes a long time, but it is absolutely incredible. Tim Curry is fantastic doing this. He's recounting the whole night very quickly, and he even throws in the slap to Mrs. Peacock once again. And it's incredible the second time around.
Yes, he's throwing everybody around.
Yes.
People are falling left and right. It's so good.
It's great.
And I love the music that they play every time that everyone is running together as a group, too.
Yeah.
The score is just amazing. Now, if you have to pick any least favorite moments, did you have any?
I didn't really have any, nope.
Well, I just wrote down how handsy Professor Plum is.
He is, and he's very lurky as well. He's always, like, gazing.
Yes. Checking people out.
Always checking people out.
Yeah, I mean, he like grabs Miss Scarlet's rear like before they've even gone into the house.
Yeah, he's known her for at least 5 minutes.
And I mean, I think she's used to that sort of thing, but it doesn't make it okay.
No.
Not okay. Other than that, like when I watch, I get kind of bored with all the, you know, government talk. I'm just not a fan of that kind of stuff. I'm just like, blah, boring. Blah, government talk. Let's talk more about Miss Scarlett's job.
Yes.
But, I mean, obviously, it just goes to show that I was probably 6 or 7 renting this movie, and it totally captivated me.
Yeah, in spite of that.
Yeah, but then now today, like, I still watch it, and I'm so entertained by the whole thing.
It's just so much fun. You can tell they had a really good time making this. It's so much fun to watch. And, it, you know, for something based on a board game, very well done.
Yeah. They talked about how there were certain screenwriters that had, like, a stellar track record that could not come up with a screenplay for this movie.
Yeah.
They just felt like that it was too specific.
Right.
But they finally got it right.
They did.
And that's it, really. We can't do Signs of the Time because it's not set in the 80s or 90s or early 2000s, which is what we cover, when we weren't around in the 50s.
We were not.
So, you know, I think they did a good job, though, with the set and the styling and everything. At least it worked for me.
It looked like the 50s to me.
It was believable. Even the external shots of the house was just a matte painting.
Which we were shocked to find out until the close-up of the house. And then you're like, oh.
Now I see it.
That is just a matte painting.
But when it's pulled out, like, you really can't tell.
No, you can't. It's awesome.
It's movie magic.
Movie magic.
All right. So we're happy to be back. We have a lot of fun things planned. Of course, we are going to be picking up our My So-Called Life recaps. We have some fun lists coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We know you love a list.
And you have been working very hard on this next set.
Yes, and our audience has been helping us create this list. So yeah. I'm really excited to share it. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.